Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
It's a Donnie Football Friday. Donnie and myself out at Bowser Chevy in Monroeville. In the studio they built just for us, City Limits. Back in the home office, and man, we're talking about a pretty gigantic football game. It might not seem that way because the Steelers, no matter what, even if they lose these next two, will be playing for the division at home against Baltimore. But what a wonder it would be to get that final week off and to clinch before then, given the Ravens' schedule. That's possible. We won't get into all the permutations next, because the weird thing is the Ravens also control their fate right now. If they win out, they're in. And if they just win one of the next two, then all they would have to do is win here and they're in. So they're not in the worst position in the world either. I mean, it sure seems like it's going to come down to that, but the Steelers can make it interesting by winning in Detroit. So, Donnie, you briefly touched on what kind of game you think it's going to be. Is that your score? 38-30 Lions?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that. I think it will be one that we are entertained by for the entire 60 minutes. I don't think it will be, you know, say how Monday night was, where, you know, the Lions are up like 38-14 and the Steelers add a couple of cosmetic scores or something. I think this will be a game where the teams mostly go blow for blow. I really worry how much they will be able to get after Jared Goff. I mean, that will be the ultimate difference maker. I feel like Cam Hayward is somebody that has to have a really big game because of the dinged up interior offensive line for the Lions and the lack of what the Steelers now have coming off the edge. It feels like Cam has to be a guy, or Derek Harmon, who is going to be back. One of those guys has to emerge and have a pretty big game that can make a difference. But Jahmyr Gibbs is such an explosive player to me. I think they have still the best 1-2 punch of a backfield in football, because I like David Montgomery a whole lot too.
Laporta's still out. So they are hurting at tight end.
He didn't target a tight end once last week. He threw the ball 41 times. Mm. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is a phenomenal player. Jameson Williams, he's, you know, a bit of a loose cannon. Kind of feels like a George Pickens type to me. But an insanely talented player. Just one that you maybe have to reel in here and there. They have also continued to score well since Dan Campbell took over the offensive play calling duties. It's not like things went downhill.
Yeah, they're number one in the league in scoring.
So I think it will be a game where it is, you know, back and forth, really fun, exciting football. I think the Steelers can exploit them down the field a little bit. I think Aaron Rodgers will continue to look pretty good. I think DK Metcalf will look pretty good. Expecting a pretty steady diet of Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren. And soon enough here, Kenneth Gainwell is going to take over, it seems, as the number one guy because he's been just that good for them. He's been undeniable for them.
Yeah.
And I think it's either a point at the end of the game where the Lions score late and make it 38-30, or maybe they're up 38-30, the Steelers have the football, and they do get stopped, you know, in the final minutes of the game. But I think it'll be a fun one.
And I'm picking Steelers to lose 36-33. Lions 36, Steelers 33. What I want to see is the Steelers offense take one more step. I think they've been pretty good the past 2 weeks, but I want to see them just absolutely explode, like detonate. Do they have that gear to get to if necessary? Again, this is indoors against a banged up defense that has been riddled by some teams. It's time. It's time to see if that can happen. I think Adam Thielen might make a few plays in this game, Donnie. Wouldn't surprise me if MVS did again. Maybe we'll be talking about Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and they're getting these receivers in a different light after this game. That's what I want to see. I want to see the ability to engage in a shootout with a powerful offensive team and have it come down to the wire. That would be very encouraging to me no matter what the result in this game. 412-928-9370. Let's hit the lines, Donnie, shall we? Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Limits, who do we have?
Here is Nick. He wants to talk about the Steelers.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are we doing, fellas?
Good. What's up?
Awesome. Huge fan. I listen religiously from the AM to the Joe and Pomp Show and then with Tony and Mueller.
Thank you.
I'm just baffled that we're still picking the Steelers to lose football games. I mean, at this point in the year, this is one of the biggest games that we've had, I would say, in the past 3 years. I mean, as a fan, you want them to win this game. And if they do lose the game and it goes down to week 18, are fans really going to pick the Ravens over the Steelers because of what happened? So I think there's just a line to where fans should be hyped that if it does come down to week 18, I mean, it's battle of the AFC North. I mean,
which fans are you talking about? Which fans
I'm
picked against
about
the Steelers?
Steelers fans. Steelers
Who's
fans.
Picking
because
against them?
Listening. I heard Pollard's picking against them. I know Pony goes back and forth, but at one point, Pony was rooting for the Ravens to beat the Steelers and have the Steelers lose out. And just as a diehard fan, I don't know how we're allowing that to happen.
Well, there's a difference between rooting for the Steelers to lose and picking them to lose, right, Donnie?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. And thanks for the call, Nick. Now, what I will bring up there too, because when Nick first started going there, I was a little bit confused, but then he kind of wrapped a little bow around it. The last two games where they one in Baltimore, and then they looked pretty dominant on Monday Night Football. If it wasn't for a couple of, you know, just, you know, cake touchdowns at the end by the Dolphins that made it look way closer than what it was. That was realistically a 28-3 game.
Yeah.
I mean, they thoroughly imposed their will on the Dolphins for the last 2.5 quarters. I will say this, though, going back to what Nick said there in his call, there was a lot of thought going into the Ravens game of, man, this is where things are really going to go south. The Ravens are going to keep going up. The Steelers will keep going down. They got up off the mat They answered the bell. They won the football game. Some bad officiating. I don't know. Maybe weird call at the end of the game. Dumb rule. They called it the right way. That whole thing in Baltimore. Then they just beat up on the Dolphins. But there were plenty of people. There were, I mean, a ton. I felt like, you know, I mean, I certainly thought they were going to lose in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. And then even Monday night, we were doing the show down at the casino. I had the pregame show down at the casino. The amount of people that called in or replied to us on social media that said, well, here comes a classic Tomlin game. Oh, they'll fail here.
Why wouldn't they say that?
McDaniel will create circles around him. So there were plenty of people doubting that the Steelers could take care of the Dolphins.
Yeah. Well-earned. Well-earned doubt. Well-earned rage. Well-earned despair in the Steeler fan base, and beating the Miami Dolphins in Tua hardly erases that. A two-game winning streak hardly erases that. Now, does that mean there's people out there saying now, man, I hope they lose because of draft position now? No.
Well, we're beyond that point.
I think we're beyond that point. But we're not beyond the point of where's this season going, and if they don't win a playoff game, is it another failure? Yeah, I'd say getting close to a decade without one would constitute another failure. Now, if they win the division and Buffalo comes to town, or the Chargers, and they lose a great battle, you know what I mean, that goes down to the wire, maybe I'll feel a little differently, because really the fact of the matter is they haven't come close to winning a playoff game.
It hasn't been competitive.
Yeah. Just give me a season where you're competitive in the biggest game. You know,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think that's asking much.
Yeah, if they were to lose a playoff game to Josh Allen and they lose 27-24, then it's okay. The streak continues. You know, I'm sure we're still going to take our jabs at that, but at least they looked like they were in it. It looked
right.
Like they had a pulse. I mean, they've come out in so many playoff scenarios where it's like they'd rather be anywhere but there.
Right.
And before we know it, it's a 3-score football game.
So we know they're not the Dolphins, and that was the quarrel I had with Andrew Rooney
yes.
II the other day, Art Pony II, when suddenly from out of nowhere, after years of attacking the Steelers for their apparent stance that, hey, we're not doing so bad, at least we're above the mean, he seemed to suddenly be okay about that. It wasn't. Hey, maybe the fire Tomlin chants were mistimed. I didn't have a quarrel with him going back and forth on that. We all go back and forth on our opinions, but the overall overriding sentiment that maybe things aren't really that bad around here. Well, they have been, actually.
And that's the problem. Too many people think it's not that bad around here.
And I didn't think Andrew Filippone was one of them.
And you know, sometimes we're going to let like people that are fans of the Dolphins, of the Jets, of the Browns, say, well, you know, it really isn't so bad for you guys. You're always in the mix. Like, yeah, that's also part of the problem. They're 9-8 or maybe 10-7. They get blown out in the first round of the playoffs, and then they're drafting 22nd overall. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that is a reason why there is a problem here.
And right. Is it really that?
I don't need to be talked to by the fans of, you know, teams that win 5 games a year.
That's patronizing.
Yes.
You guys have it so good. You never win a playoff game or even come close, but yeah. You have it so good. If the question is it really that round here with the Steelers? The answer is no, it's really not that bad. And that's the problem.
Yes.
Because it's really not that good either. So change it. Do at least a little something different. At least be competitive in a playoff game. At least come close.
I also wonder, in a way, if the chants, which I thought at the time and place were absolutely justified, you know, the fire Tomlin chants, the booing of Renegade, it was venomous in that building.
Years in the making.
On that day, yes. It was a buildup of 8 years of playoff losses in the wild card round or the first playoff game of the year.
Yep.
And they were getting blown out in a big spot at home. They had the 425 CBS game, one that we haven't had in Pittsburgh in a few years, and they took that opportunity to get blown out in the second half and just look like they had no life. It resembled a playoff game in a way. I also wonder if that was a bit of a motivating factor for the coach and even more so the players.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin acknowledged that he heard it, and he really didn't even have that much to go against the fans with. The players were the ones more upset about it. Jalen Ramsey was upset about it. Other players were upset about the chance. Maybe that put a chip on their shoulder. Maybe that, in a way, has helped turn the season a little bit.
I don't think that's a crazy thought. And maybe if this turns out well in the end, we look back on that as the time the Steelers hit rock bottom. The reactions were very justified and perfectly well-timed. They deserved it. And that proved to be the sort of rebound point, you know? Hit bottom and rebound back up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Yeah, we're going to have to get used to saying low and not low.
Low.
I mean, you got to, like, just spell his name phonetically, L-A-O.
Wow.
All right, let's do this. Football Friday, we will get to Steelers and Lions, but a long-rumored deal happened.
Consummated.
Brandon Lau, who hit 31 home runs for the Rays last year, second baseman but can play other positions like corner outfields, traded to the Pirates. Pirates also get two young, here's everybody's favorite word in baseball, controllable players back. And all they had to give up was Mike Burrows.
To a different team.
The Astros. Here's my take on this deal, and we will open up the phone lines right now on the return of winter in Pittsburgh, where we've got sleet and high winds and my Grinch decorations are blowing all over the place and Amanda gets a package delivered to the house and it rolls down the hill in our backyard and
BS.
I had to go down and get it. It was just brutal this morning.
Wait, how light can the thing in the package be if the wind's blowing it down a hill?
It was actually snow pants.
Isn't that the definition of irony a little bit?
Yeah.
It's close.
Well, anyways.
What's your thought?
Here's my take on this trade. I must be missing something. I'm not going to pretend like I know a ton about the two young guys that are getting stapled onto this deal who are coming to the Pirates, other than what you're hearing reported by people who cover the Rays and cover baseball. Magnum is someone that has some power and is young and was the Rays' fourth outfielder.
Mangum?
Yeah,
it's M-A-N-G-U-M, Mangum.
Not Magnum?
No, not Magnum.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'm off to a rip-roaring start
there. What
do you
have on the brain here, buddy?
And then Montgomery throws hard. All right, so you've got two guys with upside. Lau was top 10 in the MVP voting in 2021. He hit 39 homers that season. He hit 31 last year. Yes, he's in the last year of his contract, but he's the Pirates' best player right now. Immediately, he steps into the lineup. He's their best hitter. He's better than Reynolds. He's better than Cruz. And all they had to give up was Mike Burrows.
Yeah, I was scratching my head too.
That's what I don't get about it. And here's what I operate by. Here's like my guiding principle with this.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates dumb. Astros smart.
Rays brilliant.
Rays smart.
Yeah, I know. I know,
so,
man.
You just, like, to make, it is a football Friday, to make a football analogy, the Pirates are like the Jets, and they just made a trade with the Rams and Patriots.
And it looks on paper like they got the best of the deal.
Right. That's what I'm struggling with.
I'm trying to think of an equivalent, but it looks like they clearly got the best player.
What am
back.
I missing here?
And like, it's not like Mike Burrows is a young guy either. He's 26.
And he was good last year, but I wouldn't say
he was on the list of guys I would have happily seen traded to acquire a bat. I'm wondering.
They've traded guys who they identified, Oviedo and Burrows, as I would say more back of the rotation starters. And in the two trades they've made so far, they got a top 100 prospect back from the Red Sox for Oviedo. And they got a power hitting former all-star, former MVP candidate, and two young players who are kind of prospects back for Mike Burrows.
Oh, and by the way, the power hitter is a lefty, which at PNC Park tends to matter a little bit.
I also happen to think that Ben Cherington's not a good general manager. So why are the Rays and Astros doing him
a
favor?
I don't know.
I am so confused by this.
You are so scarred and
by the Archer trade and by what Ben Cherington has done. Yeah.
You have scar tissue for two good reasons. Who the other two teams in this three-team deal are and what the last outcome was when the Pirates traded with the Rays. I feel the same way. And yet, Ben Cherington's offseason, he couldn't get the car to turn over for how long, and he finally hit the ignition button on it and started the engine, and it looks, I have your note of caution. I have to at least allow myself to be a little excited that on paper it really does look good. Mangum is a great defensive player if you're going by just fielding percentage. How many errors do you think Jake Mangum has ever made?
I have no idea.
Zero. He's literally never made an error.
But more importantly, they think he might have some power.
He might have some power. The reason he was a one. Okay. Lau is the centerpiece. It's obvious. He was a 1.9 war player. I know you believe in war reasonably, like as a reasonable metric. Mangum was a 1.6 player last year, I would assume because he is a premium defender, among other things, without being a great offensive player. The dude that is the main centerpiece of this might be, he's going to probably be a one-year guy here. He's a win-now guy. He can hit 35 home runs in this ballpark.
If the Pirates stink, they're going to trade him in July and get more prospects back.
I hate doing this because I hate being seeming this Pollyanna about something. Because cynicism.
Well, don't be Pollyanna about it because they traded with the Rays and Astros.
It
makes me nervous too. Now
cynicism,
I feel like Mike Burrows is going to turn into Garrett Cole.
He might, but if Brandon Lau hits 35 home runs, are you going to be that mad? Because you're supposed to be dealing from where you think you have depth and adding where you think you have
little. Well, I think it would
depend. If the rest of the Pirates pitching staff all looks really good, I won't be that mad that Mike Burrows might play you know, play well above what he did with the Pirates.
But if he's only here for 1 year and this year isn't good, even if he plays well, if Burrows goes on to be a good pitcher, then it will be a bad trade.
Well, we do have some people who share our skepticism early on in YouTube. Sports Sharp. Burrows is going to be a top three of a rotation starter for the next half dozen years. He's going to be what people believed Keller would be.
Who said this?
This is a guy named Sports Sharp 412. He is sharp on sports, not dull. Listen, man, at the risk of seeming like a babe in the woods on this one, I think it is a very good trade by Ben Cherington.
I'm going to say this is deja vu, except now we're talking Pirates and not Penguins. It's the same thing. We were in here Friday. Charlie was on the board. The Penguins made the Tristan Jarry trade. My reaction was, this on its face looks like a very good trade. The fact that people are not calling in to disagree tells me that they feel the same way. Here we are a week later. The Pirates made a trade. They got three guys for one, a dude with legitimate power. They gave up an expendable pitcher, and no one is calling in to bitch, even though it's the Pirates who made the trade. And the Pirates are, dare I say, the least trustworthy team in all of baseball when it comes to making trades, because Ben Cherington has been a nincompoop, and you're dealing with two Mensa member organizations. The Rays, who you envy because you want to be them.
And the sticky stuff Astros.
And the Astros, who last year, they finally ended a run. They were like the Chiefs of the American League, where they were in the ALCS every single bleeping season. By the way, Justin Verlander's brother, Ben, I'm not exactly sure what he's ever done in life.
But Ben Justin Verlander's brother?
But he's a big deal on social media, evidently. Somebody just sent me this. Ben Verlander. Mike Burrows has absolutely disgusting stuff.
Mm.
He's young and under team control until 2032. Really like this move for the Astros.
Did he say anything about what he thinks about the move for the Pirates?
No, it's about the Astros getting better. Maybe because his brother pitched there. Yes, Chaz?
I don't know. It's not adding anything to the Pirates discussion. But
oh, you raised your hand.
As of
you just wanted to let
ago,
us know you were here?
No, as of a half hour ago, Tristan Jarry was placed on injured reserve by the Edmonton Oilers, just to throw that out there real quick.
So does that mean Burrows? Well, does that mean Burrows is going to actually be somebody who has something horrible befall him? Not that I would root for that, but maybe. It is a very uncomfortable posture, and maybe this is saying too much about just my general thought process about sports. It's a very uncomfortable posture to sit in this chair, to be somebody who is trying to give big and ultimately accurate opinions. I want to be right like we all do. And just kind of scratch my head and go, I've squinted at it from every angle. It sure looks like Ben Cherington pulled off a winner of a deal.
The Pirates pulled a fast one on two highly intelligent baseball organizations.
Yeah, does Brandon Lau, do we not know, does he have corns on his foot that are going to keep him out all year? Is he going to suffer from plantar fasciitis? What am I missing here? This is uncomfortable emotion called optimism and happiness.
This is
with
maybe
this deal.
The biggest trade the Pirates have made since the Archer deal.
This is the biggest personnel move they've made since they drafted
Paul
Skeens.
So I would think Pirates fans would get out of their winter slumber here and call in and weigh in on this trade at 412-928-9370. Here's Jim in Omaha to start us off. Hello, Jim.
I don't know, man. I don't know how the heck Cherington pulled this one off. That Magnin could be a everyday outfielder for us.
Is it Mangum?
It's Mangum. It's Mangum.
Mangum. I'm sorry. M-A-N-G. I'm glad you aren't calling Magnum P.I. like the person that was on.
Or Magnum Condoms.
Wait, we were kind of making Magnum Condoms jokes. Joe was making Magnum P.I. jokes.
Magnum Condoms are the really big ones, right, Charlie?
He doesn't have a Blue Chew read yet.
Okay, sorry. That's not until a little bit.
Jim in Omaha, thrilled that he called in right now.
So Jim in Omaha is saying this is the blind squirrel who found the nut here in Ben Cherington. Is that what I'm sensing?
It really is. I mean, he's screwed up every other trade, but he may have finally made it the 17th, I think. I mean, this is amazing. It really is. And, you know, to give up Burrow, Burrow was in here. I saw him play in Omaha last year here in Indianapolis. I mean, he started out in the minor leagues. Could he be a good pitcher? Yeah, but we don't really know. He's injury prone too. So this is,
Omaha calling in to say that he actually has some optimism now with the Pirates?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
They instantly just made their lineup a lot better. Like, I forget about everything else.
And they gave up a guy that they could absolutely
that they
part
could
with.
Afford to part with. Just look at it this. You have to look at it this way because you have to just take honestly what Brandon Lau has done so far in the major leagues in a very tough division, mind you. They just added a 30 home run guy to their lineup and gave up what you just said is one of their expendable arms. Their lineup got 30 home runs better, presumably.
I think the reason why we don't have full lines right now is because people are hesitant to give them credit for anything. That's what this is.
People are feverishly looking up things on FanGraphs, trying to figure out why this deal sucks.
The first guy that calls in to give the trade credit is out in the friggin' middle of nowhere. He's in Omaha. The people that are in Pittsburgh that are just have been beaten down by this team can't bring themselves to call in and give them credit for a trade. And I kind of get it. I sort of get it. Their track record is lousy. But just when you evaluate this trade, how do you say anything negative about it? It's very tough to do. The tables have turned.
The only negativity you can add to it is you can project and try to say, well, I think Burrows is going to thrive with the Astros and the Pirates are going to tinker with Brandon Lau's swing.
And he's not going to be here for very long.
That part of it I understand, but the whole thrust of everything anyone has wanted them to do via trade or free agency is
build power.
A team that tries to win now and get some power.
Yep.
What does Brandon Lau do? Hit home runs. Who's he going to do that for, I would hope, the whole season because it means they're good? The Pirates.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And joining us on that hotline is our buddy from the Post-Gazette, from the Locked On Steelers podcast. For our matchup segment, it is Chris Carter. Chris, do you agree with me that at 4:25 on Sunday, this all comes down to beating Goff?
You're terrible. You are terrible. I would Yoshi bonk you right now if this was Twitter.
That's terrible. Exactly why I wanted to start the conversation with that. Chris, let's start broad and then... Well, no, let's start with the injuries, actually. Zach Frazier now, banged up. So what are you going to have left to right? Is it going to be Dylan Cook, Andrews Pete, or Spencer Anderson, and then McCollum at center? Or do you expect Frazier to play in this game?
I expect Frazier to play. I get the sense that, like, the Steelers were in pads yesterday, so that was probably a precaution. He practiced the day before. I doubt that something got triggered during warmups or during walkthroughs on Wednesday. So I bet this was something like, hey, it's the late part of the season. Guys are dealing with things. If we're doing the physical day in practice, we're not going to put our center through anything. He knows what it is. And there's been times where Zach has popped up with things and they've treated this similarly and he comes back fine. We'll see today. If he doesn't practice today, then I would be like, uh-oh. But I expect him to at least be back in a limited fashion today, and then he starts Sunday. But left tackle, I would expect Dylan Cook. I don't know how serious Isaac Seumalo's injury is. I mean, you saw in the play that he came out, it wasn't a contact injury, which whenever a guy has to leave a game for a play that he wasn't like hit hard or anything like that, you do have to look at it and say, uh-oh, is that a bigger problem? Non-contact injuries are always the scariest. So, you know, I don't know what'll happen there. If he is out, maybe you go to Spencer Anderson. Maybe you try to move things around. But that'd be the entire left side of the Steelers' offensive line. And I'll also say this too: like when we talked to Dylan Cook this week, he said one of the big reasons that helped him have zero pressures allowed on 30 pass protection snaps. He said Isaac Seumalo was a big part of it because he helped him call out. Mm. And identify pass rushes and blitzes. There were times where Dylan Cook, the Dolphins would set two guys on his side, and he would pass one off to Seumalo and then take on the other one. And he looked so composed doing it. When I asked him about it, he was like, that's Isaac. And so if Isaac Seumalo's out, that's a bigger deal because it's also going to impact Dylan Cook.
Chris, do you think that Aaron Rodgers can take advantage of this depleted secondary of the Lions, even if it is, an injury-riddled offensive line? Do you think they can hold up enough for Aaron Rodgers to take advantage of the Lions secondary?
I think so. I think as part of the thing is the Steelers are no strangers to conducting a quick pass, short passing offense to protect Aaron Rodgers from an offensive line that's having a bad day. They did that a lot early in the season. Now, the Steelers have become one of the best pass-protecting offensive lines in the NFL statistically when it comes to pressure rates allowed and things like that. But, you know, of course, now they're banged up and they're going up against Aiden Hutchinson and a front that they're the strength of this Lions defense. But I do think that he's going to get his chances in this game to hit DK Metcalf. I don't think that they have a corner that's going to be able to stick him one-on-one. I think they're going to have to scheme up some things. They don't have Bryant Branch. That's going to make that easy. I think this could be a day where Adam Thielen or MVS – get their chances. I think it should be a day for Pat Freiermuth and really all the tight ends. This is a chance for Aaron Rodgers to attack. This could be an offensive game, and they're going to need it because this is the number one offense that they're facing on the other side of the ball, and they're going to need to not just score but possess the football, make sure that the defense isn't out there for 70, 80 plays at the end of this one, because I could see the defense coming out here and stopping the Lions initially, but you do not want what happened against like the Bills, where they had to keep going back out there and keep going back out there, and eventually the defense gets tired and crumbles. So you gotta take advantage of what you get hot. So starting hot could be very important for the Steelers to A, take an early lead, B, make it tougher for the Lions to say, hey, we're just gonna run the ball all day, and then C, protect your defense from having to be out there all game.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. He also the host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So it's looking like no TJ Watt and probably no Herbig. How do you think that's going to go?
I mean, it means Jack Sawyer is probably going to get his first NFL start. It means that DeMarvin Leal is probably going to be the guy behind him, and then they signed Jeremiah Moon. So it's really going to be Alex Highsmith and then a bunch of guys that they're going to need to protect. And that's why I have a hard time seeing them win this game right now. I think that they're going to make it close because I think that the Steelers are playing really good football. But this Lions offense, and particularly this run game, it is really tough to stop. And they're going to be aggressive in attacking whatever side doesn't have Alex Highsmith. And who knows, they might be aggressive attacking Alex Highsmith as well. But one thing the Steelers, I think, had gotten better at in the past couple of weeks, and we talked to Patrick Queen about this yesterday, was avoiding the popcorn mistakes and avoiding plays where guys left their assignments to help other people because they thought they needed to do that to win. And he said, like, you know, guys, you know, will often try to do their own thing. And he's like, we have to not do our own thing. We have to stick to the plan. But when you're missing, you know, starters and you're starting to have backups, that's when it stresses, like, hey, do we try to come down and help out this Jeremiah Moon guy that just got here? Do we try to come down and help out Jack Sawyer, who's a rookie, and we know that he's up against it and that they're going to be running right at him? That's going to be a tough question. And so that's going to stress things out. And then as an offense is making plays, and listen, the Lions have a very talented offense. They're going to make plays. It's going to increase that stress level on the Steelers' defense to stay in their roles. And so I think that's the stuff that's going to get stressed. So if I'm the Lions, I'm running a lot of outside runs, a lot of off tackle, a lot of, you know, just inside the tackle. But I'm trying to do everything I can to put stress on that outside linebacker position, wherever Sawyer, Moon, Leal, that is a big part of my plan for this game. Because now that Derek Harmon's back, they have some more help on the inside. I'd still try the inside, but man, I am attacking that outside linebacker position wherever Alex Highsmith isn't.
Chris, what about the coaching matchup? Mike Tomlin and Dan Campbell, two guys that are extremely different. Dan Campbell, extremely aggressive. We've seen Tomlin be aggressive, you know, at least last game and the game before a little bit. But what do you think of this coaching matchup? Do you think one is going to try to outsmart the other in this matchup Sunday?
I mean, they always do, right? Like, you know, each coaching staff has plans to route the other, to figure out things that they want to do. I would not be shocked. Like, one thing that Mike Tomlin said when we asked him why was he so aggressive on fourth down in this last game, he said, hey, you know, we wanted to keep Devon H.A. We wanted to keep that run game from the Dolphins from being a factor. We wanted to give them as few chances as possible. And so it's like, hey, you know, I said last week that was the seventh time they faced a top 10 rushing offense. Well, because the Chargers fell out of the top 10, this is now also the seventh time that they're going to be facing a top 10 rushing offense. And this is a better rushing offense. It's a better overall offense. So it would make me think this is a game where the Steelers, if that was their mantra last game, it should be their mantra this week. So I think there's going to be some efforts to try to get in fourth down situations where the Steelers do also try to be aggressive there. And crazy enough, the Steelers have a slightly higher fourth down conversion rate because of last week than the Lions this year. They haven't been that good at fourth down. The Lions have compared to past years. I think last year they competed for like two out of every three fourth downs. But one thing I looked up, the Steelers have the second worst fourth down defense this year. And maybe that's circumstantial. Maybe that's just spots there. But if I'm the Lions, I'm looking at that and saying, we can get this right. We need to have all four plays in our arsenal each drive. And if the I do think this, if the Steelers can identify what they like to do on fourth down and they can take some of those things away and just cause some, get some stops there, and then they are able to put up points, that's a way the Steelers could sort of trap the Lions into creating their own problems. If they get aggressive and go for it on fourth down on their own side of the field, and then they give Aaron Rodgers a short field and then he hurts them, that's a way that where I think coaching can play a role into how this is. So I think one thing the Steelers try to do a lot is they try to simulate situations, try to create spots where they expect certain looks in certain ways because of how teams play specific situations in the past. And so I think that's where a lot of the coaching, I think, is going to come down to in this game, and who can create the spots, and then, you know, who can put their team in better positions to win those spots.
Chris Carter of the Post Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Steelers didn't necessarily live in 11 personnel last week, but we saw a lot more of it than we have before. Their three leading pass catchers, or their three leading skill guys in terms of snaps, were wide receivers. So do you think that against this banged up secondary, that that would be the way to attack them?
I think so. I mean, it's also, it's what's working for the offense right now.
Right.
They're spreading teams out. And even if it wasn't just this banged up secondary, I mean, the last 2 weeks they went up against the Dolphins, which they were, I think, the number 12 or 13 pass defense in the NFL when they went up against them last week. So they were no slouches, but they wanted to put stress on Minkah Fitzpatrick. And so, you know, if the Lions are going to go after your backups, they're going to be attacking, you know, whoever's replacing Watt and Herbie on the outside linebacker position. They're going to be attacking Dylan Cook and anyone else that's a replacement on the offensive line. So attack Brian Branch's backup and put stress on their secondaries. You know, if Terry Arnold, if their secondary is struggling, go after them and force them into tough communication ways. And I think that's something that Arthur Smith did very well last week, was he had covered two beaters, he had covered three beaters, he had covered one beaters. He had different things that he was going to force you to do. I mean, he, you know, we all, people get mad when the Steelers miscommunicate, but he forced miscommunications to happen with the Dolphins last week, where they were stressed in certain situations. Guys made judgment calls and they made the wrong. And so when you force guys to have to make tough decisions, they'll sometimes make wrong decisions and miscommunicate. And that's when, you know, busted coverages happened, and I think that was a big part of the MVS touchdown. Was, you know, one guy was in match cover three, the other guy was staying put on cover, on his cover three, and instead of, you know, one guy followed his receiver, one guy stayed on his side of the field, and so then it put all the stress on the middle safety, who was looking at DK Metcalf, and then as soon as MVS crossed his face, it was an easy touchdown throw for Aaron Rodgers. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm giving Aaron Rodgers every chance to build off of that and to try to attack there. But you also want to balance it, because you do want to run the football and control the clock and wear a team down. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm trying to access that somehow.
Chris, who wins?
I do think that the Lions win this game. I just think it's a lot to ask of a banged up Steelers team with if Herbig and Watt are actually out of this game. I think it's a lot to ask of that outside linebacker position. And hey, you know what? I thought it was going to be really tough without Harmon and Watt last game, just to stop the run of the Dolphins, and they did that. So they could prove me wrong there again. I just think that this is a tough matchup. This is the number one offense. But hey, you know what? Patrick Queen said that they've had recent meetings, and he also told me some other things before the scrum happened that I'm going to reveal in a Saturday piece.
Oh, a little tease.
That happened over the past few weeks that's really helped the defense. And it's something that Mike Tomlin did. So I'm going to write about that in the PG. So be on the lookout for that. It should be out tomorrow. But I think there's extra things that have been happening in the defense. If it leads to them having a really strong game this week against the Lions, it's going to send shockwaves around the NFL, because the Lions are our respected team. Even at 8-6, the Lions are a respected team. They have the best offense, or the highest scoring offense right now. But even more important than the shockwaves that it sends, guys, it would put the ultimate pressure on the Ravens, because if the Steelers win this game, the Ravens play Sunday night and they play Saturday night. The Ravens have to play two games before the Steelers play the Browns in Cleveland. If the Ravens lose any – if the Steelers win this game on Sunday and the Ravens lose either of the games to the Patriots or the Packers, both of which are, you know, Super Bowl contenders, the Steelers would just have to beat the Browns. And the Week 18 wouldn't matter. AFC North locked up. It would put immense pressure on the Ravens to win both of those games. And then the Browns game wouldn't matter. And then it would just be about, can the Steelers beat the Ravens in Week 18? But they would say, hey, if you lose one game, the Browns is it. If they lose both games, the Steelers don't even have to play the Ravens. They would clinch the division before even playing the Browns.
Yep.
So there is an opportunity with this game. But I feel like the Lions, they're a really good team. The one thing that you look at, though, is if the Steelers are going to beat them, you look at that defense. They've given up the 24th passing yards, most passing yards in the NFL. They rank 29th in passing touchdowns allowed. If Aaron Rodgers goes up against this team that he's faced a lot of time and has a big day, that could change the tone of things. And if they win this game, it'll be because I think of that passing offense and because that defense surprised people. But I do think that all of a sudden everyone's going to turn and look like, where did these Steelers come from?
Chris, stop stressing Tomlin out, man.
Yep.
We need his
stressing
best.
Me out.
We need his best down the stretch. All right.
And hey, I can't promise anything, but hey, I'd rather say well than sick him.
My man. Nice. All right, Chris. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks a million.
All right, fellas.
Except we won't.
Thanks a billion.
Because thanks a trillion.
Thanks a good billion. Gazillion.
I don't think anything's higher than gazillion. I'll take the L.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. It's windy out there. Temps dropping mid to low 20s, low of 22. Andrew McCutcheon, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And even when Pomp's not here, which is often, you can listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Donnie, this is the segment the people have waited for. But first, I'm going to give you and Limits a bonus try at a steak dinner.
Ooh,
you ready?
Get ready, Limits.
Here we go. Are you ready, Limits?
Yes.
You can even text Ray Fittipaldo as a lifeline again. I felt bad about the tricky nature of my last question. You ready?
Yes.
The Steelers' all-time leader in passer rating is who?
Now, this is could be another trick question, Donnie, where it's somebody who threw just one pass.
The Steelers' all-time leader in passer rating is who?
I have a guess here, Limits.
Oh how boy, many? How many
he's
passes?
Got something up his sleeve.
How many passes did Antoine Randle-L throw, Donnie?
That was going to be my guess.
Is that your guess?
I will go with Antoine Randle-L.
I will go with Antoine Randle-L.
Wrong and wrong. Antoine Randle-L was 16 of 18 with four touchdowns and no picks in his career and 170 yards, which is unbelievable, actually. And I'm not even sure that includes his Super Bowl throw. He finished his career with 145.6 passer rating. But a man who used to sit right across from me where Donnie is right now, his name was Josh Miller, completed one of one passes
against the Ravens
to Chris Hope on a fake pass against the Ravens.
See, I told you it was somebody that threw one dang pass.
For an 81-yard touchdown in his career passer rating, my friend Josh, a perfect 158.3. And that's our first number, Donnie. Dive in. You got a number for me?
See, Limits, that's why I thought we had a shot, because I knew that Randle-L, he always made his passes
guess.
Count.
Yeah,
I didn't know if he had many incompletions, if any.
Yeah, and I knew he...
16 of 18, Limits, I just said that.
We all knew he had a bunch of touchdowns. Plus 10 is my number here, Joe. That is the Steelers' point differential on the season. The Lions, on the other hand, plus 83.
Wow.
Top 10 in the league.
Six, the number of TD passes Aaron Rodgers needs the rest of the season to tie Terry Bradshaw for the most of anybody in Steelers history not named Ben Roethlisberger. How about that, Donnie?
3-3-3-3. The Steelers held the ball for 33 minutes and 33 seconds on Monday night, Joe. That's one of their highest totals of the season in a game. They commanded it. And if they do something like that Sunday, they got a shot. Keep that offense of Detroit off the field.
Like our friend Cam Hayward said, the best defense is one that's sitting on the sidelines. 26. Jahmyr Gibbs runs of 10 yards or longer this season. 26 of those kinds of runs, Donnie.
I'll go along those lines, Joe. 342. The Lions have produced 342 more rushing yards than their opponents all season in the same number of attempts, 373.
I got something on the other side of it, 70. Gibbs hasn't even reached 70 yards in a game in three straight outings.
261.2. The passing yards per game allowed by the Steelers defense this year. Detroit not far behind them at 249.9.
I'm sticking with Gibbs. 62 is the number. He is the third most catches among all running backs in the league. Christian McCaffrey has the most. This guy has 62. So watch him coming out of the backfield too, please, Donnie.
Total rushing yards per game. That's where I'm going with my next number.
Yes.
The Lions average 131.1.
Oh, I got 30.
Most.
I got 30 as my number. With one touchdown pass, Jared Goff hits 30 touchdowns at least for the third straight year. He's kind of underrated, I think.
He certainly is. Two. The Steelers now have two wins without T.J. Watt after that win on Monday night. They were 1-11, now 2-11.
Four. That's the number of forced fumbles for Aiden Hutchinson. Watch out for him, especially with a banged-up interior of your offensive line, Donald.
Zero is my number, and it kind of works both ways here. The Lions this year, undefeated when Jahmyr Gibbs scores a touchdown.
Wow.
Winless when he doesn't.
Five. As in the 5th of October, which is the last time the Lions won consecutive games. They couldn't be that good.
16.8.
The average margin of victory for the Detroit Lions, that is number one in football.
So is this 30.6, that's the Lions' points per game, number one in football.
7.52 yards per pass attempt, only better than five defenses. That is what the Lions give up. So the Steelers can certainly get their yardage down the field.
2 and 4. That's where the Lions and Steelers rank in red zone offense. Something's got to give, or maybe not, and we get a 41-38 game like Ray Fittipaldo predicts.
272.3. That is my number here. We talked about the Lions' pass defense. In the last six games, that has been the average yardage allowed through the air from that defense. 272.3 yards. That is the most allowed in football.
5.5. That's Gibbs' yards per carry. Only Achan has a higher yards per carry in the whole league.
30 and 5. Did you do the Aiden Hutchinson stat?
No, I only did his fumbles forced.
35 plus sacks, 5 plus interceptions over the course of his first four seasons, Joe. The only other player to have 30 plus sacks and 5 plus INTs in his first four seasons?
Lawrence Taylor?
Joey Porter.
Wow, what a... I should just give up now, Limits. That's the number of the day.
That is the number of the day.
I'll keep going. 10. That's Steelers' points on their first drives of the second half combined in the past 2 weeks, a field goal in Baltimore and a touchdown last week. That might not seem like much or a big deal, but, man, you want to start that second half on a good note. Their second halves have been disastrous all year. They've scored on both of them to open the second half in the last 2 weeks.
7.8, the explosive play rate from the Detroit Lions offense. That is the best in football.
2 sacks for Alex Highsmith to catch Aaron Smith for 12th on the Steelers' all-time list. You like that one, Donnie?
I do. I like that one a lot. We talked about Jameson Williams earlier. 88 is my number here. Since Dan Campbell took over play-calling duties midway through the season, Jameson Williams has reached 88 or more receiving yards in 5 of his last 6 games.
Only bird oil. And my last one is 3. And that is Mike Tomlin. Number of times he went for it on 4th down in the first half last week, a career best. And now he can match 4th down tries with the big guy, Kneecap Campbell. Nobody goes for it on 4th down more than he does. I wish I had the numbers. The numbers are down in Detroit this year as far as conversions on 4th downs. But Donnie, this could be a regular 4th down festival.
My final one, a triple-decker for you, 90, 13, and 12. The Steelers have 90 quarterback hits this season as a defense, the third most in football. However, Nick Herbig leads the team with 13, and T.J. Watt has 12.
There you go. Limits, as we said, Donnie had maybe the number of the year with that Joey Porter number. Can you repeat that one, Donnie,
please,
for the kids,
Donnie,
at home for those in back?
So it's something since sacks have been tracked back to 1982, and this also comes from our guy Matt the Machine Williamson over at Steelers.com. I highlighted the entire paragraph because it was that good. Aiden Hutchinson became the first player since sacks have been tracked back in 82 with 35-plus sacks and 5-plus interceptions in his first four career seasons. The only other player with 30-plus sacks and 5-plus INTs in his first four seasons, Joey Porter.
Wow. That's a great one, Donnie, and I commend you and, of course, Matt Williamson on that one.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. At 2:45, it's time for a little fair game with Faribault. Steelers insider Nick Faribault. We'll get back to the Pirates here in this big trade. We did find what the MLB trade value Twitter that went viral during last year's trade deadline, what they had to say about this three-team deal. We'll get to more of your calls, too, at 412-928-9370. But let's talk a little bit about Steelers-Lions with top Steelers insider Nick Faribault. And the way this game works is we will present him with an opinion and ask him whether or not it's fair. Nick, let's start with TJ Watt. Mike Tomlin talked after practice today. After hearing him talk, is it fair to wonder if we're going to see TJ Watt before this regular season is over?
Listen, is it fair to wonder? I mean, I guess it is, but I think we do. Everything I'm hearing says that. I think he's back for Baltimore. I think that's the big notch. I'm not sure he's going to be back next week against Cleveland. He's not going to play this week. I'm fairly certain of that. But I think he gets out there against the Ravens in week 18, if that game means something. If it doesn't, then I think it's fair. Like, if they clinch by next week, which is very possible that they could do that, then perhaps he doesn't play again this regular season. But if that week 18 game has stakes, I think TJ Watt will play. You know, I kind of what I was told was 3 weeks after the injury was around when he could return. And that Ravens game is around 3.5 weeks after the official partially collapsed lung happened, and sounds like he can return then. So that's kind of what I'm expecting TJ Watt back on the football field.
Nick, is it fair to say, or to infer, I should say, that because Watt was back around the team yesterday and is back just with them broadly speaking, that there might not be the level of animus or ill will between Watt and the team that people speculated there could be given the nature of this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think anyone's happy about it, and I think there's obviously things there, legalities that could potentially pop up that, you know, we don't know about yet. We don't know what TJ Watt's plan is. We don't know what Steelers organization's plan is, but I don't think he's going to come out in March and request a trip. I'll say that. You know, I don't think he's going to want out of the Steelers organization. He just got a new contract from them, and, you know, maybe it changes the procedures around training and dry needling and different things like that, and it puts down a stricter code to that area, and that might be what he's pushing for. But I don't think there's any insane animosity towards the Steelers' organization and that TJ Watt is not going to play football, for example, for them. So I don't think that he is going to request a trade out or anything like that.
Fair to think that besides TJ Watt, the Steelers are going to have another significant player who misses Sunday's game against the Lions because of injury?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I don't expect to see Isaac Seumalo out there, and I'd consider him pretty significant given how he's played over the last 6 weeks or so. I don't think we're going to see James Pierre. I think he played really well. So you get more shot to Samuel Jr., which I don't think is a terrible thing. I think he's a good player. And then Nick Herbig is kind of going to be the questionable one. I mean, I think that would be significant given the fact that it would be Jack Sawyer against Penei Sewell. Listen, you might like Jack Sawyer. I don't blame you if you do, but playing against Penei Sewell, I think, is a huge mismatch. And Herbig was out here this week today, so we'll see. I think he's probably going to be questionable for Sunday against the Lions. If he does play, I don't get the impression it's going to be a full snap count for him. So, yeah, I do think the Steelers are going to be a little shorthanded here on Sunday.
Is it fair to say, Nick, that the Steelers, well, I'll say specifically Aaron Rodgers, can continue or will continue to build on what are probably his two best games as a Steeler in this game against the Lions?
I mean, I think this kind of idea that Rodgers is just going to upswing each week, it's kind of a little fool's gold to me. And it doesn't mean I don't believe in what Rodgers can do. Rodgers can certainly make plays still, and I think has shown his ability to be a perfect point guard for the team. I think that's kind of the way I would describe him, as a point guard. But we've also seen games against the Bills, games against the Chargers. We have seen poor football from Aaron Rodgers. I think thinking that he is going to play like he did against the Ravens, which was his best game in arguably three seasons, or against the Dolphins, which was more in line with, you know, games like he played against like the Vikings and the Browns. I think he can keep that level, but I think this kind of idea where he has been such an inconsistent quarterback throughout the year, you don't really know which Aaron Rodgers is going to show up. I don't think it's 100% a bet that he's going to show up and be really good against the Lions. He could be, but I don't know which Aaron Rodgers you're going to see every week. It's just been like that. And it's really been the whole team, to be quite honest with you.
Nick, fair to say that the Steelers' defense is going to give up 40 or more points to the Lions on Sunday?
I don't think they're going to give up 40. I do think they're going to get punched in the mouth. I think that's a fair way to say it. I think they're going to allow 30-plus. I do. I think this is going to be a big game for Jahmyr Gibbs. The edge rushers, man. I mean, losing Watt and probably Herbig, you're going to have a limited Herbig at most. It's really tough. And I just think that Sawyer matchup is a huge mismatch. I think the Steelers' run defense is still leaky. I know that they slowed down Achane last week, but there was a few times I thought that there could have been big plays, and some of the Steelers players made some really nice plays, but I don't really believe in them to put up that level of effort and that level of cohesion week after week. And that's really why I think, you know, even if Detroit, I think Detroit can be a team that even if you slow down Jahmyr Gibbs, Goff can still throw on you with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. And so, you know, they could do the whole Green Bay Chicago thing where the Steelers slow down that run game and they just throw all over them anyways. And I think the Steelers defense is still a little leaky. I don't think it's a top unit. I think it's better than it was. It has a higher floor than they did when they were at their depths earlier this year, but they're still not a great defense. They're only a slightly above average defense still. And so I do think they're due for a down week.
Nick, this is kind of a long range one because this game is functionally meaningless to the Steelers. They don't have to have any outcome here except hopefully nobody suffers a major injury. Okay. Is it fair to say you are more confident in them making the playoffs via Ravens lose their next two, Steelers beat the Browns, or Steelers beat the Ravens in a Week 18 do-or-die contest? Fair to say you're more confident in the former or the latter of those two happening?
I'm probably more confident in the Ravens losing their next two and the Steelers beating the Browns. And that's just because I think the Ravens against the Patriots and the Packers is a good matchup for the Steelers in terms of what the Ravens do. Listen, Baltimore could win one of those games, but they're not particularly good at home, and they're facing a really good Patriots team, who, even though they have a light schedule, I think is a good team. Now, I know the Packers are a little less toothless now with no Micah Parsons, but I do think that's still a really good team, and Jordan Love is playing some really good football. And so I really think the Steelers could have an opportunity there. And they go to Cleveland. Listen, that's not a slam dunk win. Cleveland's been a really bad area for the Steelers in Cleveland up there by the lake over the last few years. So they just have to win one of the next two, and I feel like they could. Now, that Week 18 game, I think, is a lot more dicey just because what does the Steelers' overall health look like? They are a battered team. They haven't had a bye week since Week 5. I think that is going to be weighing on them more and more as they get deeper into the season. I think it's just hard to expect a team to sweep their biggest division rival. I just do. And so I do think I trust the Ravens probably to lose more than the Steelers to beat the Browns, but I trust them to 100% go and win that matchup against Baltimore in Week 18.
Nick, fair game to say that the Steelers are going to go into Motown and upset the Lions on Sunday?
No, I don't see it happening. I see the Lions winning this one. I just do. Listen, I think the Steelers are a better team than they were 6 weeks ago. I do. But this is not a good matchup for them in a lot of ways. I think the injuries in particular really hit them. Listen, the one thing the Steelers do have in favor of them is when Goff struggles, the interior pressure really gets to him. And the Steelers are going to have their full interior defensive line healthy. So getting Derek Harmon back, I think, is really important for them if they're going to win this game. It's going to be him, Benton, and Hayward that are going to have to wreak havoc if they're going to win this football game. I'm not expecting it. I think that someone like Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a really big game for the Lions. And the Steelers, I think, are going to actually put up points. I'm not going to be surprised if this is like a close, darn near shootout type of game. Like, I totally expect this to almost play out similar to the Bears game, where the Steelers are able to drive the ball, score some real points, but the defense is just going to allow too many big plays. And I also think the Steelers are more likely to turn the ball over than the Lions. The Lions offense great at keeping the ball and not turning it over. So I'll take Detroit in this one 35-27.
Nick Faribault, award-winning, top-rated Steelers insider. Thank you, Nick. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it as always.
There you go.
Very businesslike always at the end.
All right, so he thinks Waddle will be back for the Baltimore game if it matters. He said he heard 3-week injury.
Are you still...
Yeah.
Of the opinion that I am, that there's like a lot of layers there that we might never know the details on.
I can't wait to talk to someone who's going to be in studio who said something to me about this at the karaoke event, and I wonder if he's going to be willing to share those things on the air.
Knowing him, probably not, but we can dream.
It was good to hear from Jason Mackey. Or, damn it. It was good to hear from Chris Carter.
Yeah, it's easy to mix those two up.
Yeah.
What?
All the Post-Gazette writers look alike, you know? It's easy to confuse them. So Carter joined us earlier. He said he thinks Frazier's going to play. So that's massive for the Steelers on Sunday against the Lions. We're taking a little bit of a pause from the Steelers talk, just momentarily. We'll get back to all your pre-Steelers-Lions coverage in a moment. We're joined now live from Ottawa. He is also from the Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Adam. Montreal, actually.
You know how all those Canadian cities look alike. Jason, listen. I don't want to talk about last night's game. What I do want to ask is, do you think that this was Fenway Sports Group's plan the whole time? We're going to buy the Penguins, few years, it's going to appreciate, and we're going to sell them. Or do you think they had a different long-term outlook and they just got an offer they couldn't refuse?
Probably a mix of both, Adam. I don't think Fenway Sports Group expected to get this. I think what the Hoffman family of companies came in and offered, it made the decision very easy. But I don't think Fenway Sports Group bought the Penguins looking to sell them.
Okay.
Was Fenway Sports Group in a position where it might be open to that? Yes, I believe that. But I think it would have taken a monumental offer to do that. And I think they got a monumental offer in what Hoffman came in with. You know, 1.7, basically sticker price. Mm. It's crazy. So it's a mix of the two.
Jason, I asked this question to Jeff Hathorn yesterday, and with the Hoffman Group now taking over, how much involvement do you think Mario Lemieux will have in this new ownership group, if any at all, or will he still have his same minority stake? Now, I know that there was friction and things didn't go well with FSG and Mario Lemieux. Do you see it maybe looking different now that there's new ownership?
I think it's going to look different, Doran, but I don't think – as of now, I don't think there are plans for him to maintain a minority share. Wow. Like, I think he's going to sell that. And do they convince him to come back? Yeah, I think that's going to be a part of what the Hoffman family of companies does. They would be silly not to. Mm-hmm. Does Mario want to be involved in day-to-day operations? Does he want to be involved in the business side, hockey side? No, I don't think. And that's just a life thing. Mm-hmm. Does Mario want to be around the rink more? Yes. So I would expect him to be more public than he's been with FSG. It would be hard to be less public. But I don't think, like, all of this stuff that's being floated out there about, oh, they need to make Mario a very visible part, and, you know, Mario needs to have say and this, that, and the other. I don't think Mario wants say. I don't think Mario wants to control stuff like that. Does he want there to be a more cohesive relationship with him and the team? Of course.
Well, wasn't there a rumor that he wanted to buy back the Penguins during this process?
Yeah. Yeah.
So wouldn't you think that he would want a little, maybe some say?
I agree, but well, yes, but I don't think he wants say for somebody else's ownership.
Gotcha.
I don't think he wants to work for somebody else. I mean, even with him and Burkle, I mean, Mario was involved. I'm going to put that in air quotes. I mean, he also had people around him that he trusted that he could delegate that stuff to.
Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, covers everything. Covers the Penguins right now, also a beat writer for the Pirates, does a great job with everything. Jason, I know it's in the infancy of all this, but really, if it's not a meddling ownership group, if they spend to the cap, if they invest in hockey ops, I don't know that the layman's going to really notice much of a difference. Do you have any idea if they're going to plan on spending to the cap? I mean, $1.7 billion does show that they're pretty serious with the money side of things.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the billion-dollar question for Hoffman, and I expect them to, Adam. I mean, yes, I agree with you. We're in the infancy stages and we're still learning more information. But what I've looked into and learned about the Hoffman and family companies, they don't really go cheap on much. And if they're in position to buy this team, if they're having a discussion with the NHL Board of Governors, which they will, this will have to get signed off on by Gary Bettman and the other owners. They're not going to bring him in here if he's not willing to do what's necessary for this team. I mean, you can criticize FSG for a lot of things, and that's fair. But they've given Kyle Dubas the necessary resources. They've given him the runway to make the hard decisions necessary, which means lean time now, building for later. Yes, they've been distant corporate and all that stuff, but I don't think they would allow a change of ownership if there were questions about this group's ability to spend.
Jason, is Dan Muse and Kyle Dubas, are they safe?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that with, like, you know, intel from the Hoffman family of companies, but I mean, Doran, this is the first time this group has owned an NHL team and a team above the ECHL level. Like, that would take some really big you-know-whats to come in here and say, we're going to disrupt this entire plan, which seems to be going well.
Yeah.
you know, and mm-hmm. you start with Kyle Dubas, and I would imagine that Kyle's going to stump for Dan Muse to keep his job. Like, I would just be shocked mm-hmm. if they veered off the path the Penguins are on, which is honestly a very good one. I know it's bad right now, but, like, long-term, I think they're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, they've now lost 7 games in a row, and I don't even want to talk about that because I've been punching the air the last 4 times they've played. But where, if anywhere, did the Fenway Sports Group maybe fall short for you, Jason?
I don't think they ever connected with the fan base, yeah. Adam. And I think Penguins games have felt more like corporate events. I don't think they're targeting the right fans. I mean, you go to a game, you have somebody screaming at you. There's noise everywhere. I'm going to go to a game in Montreal tomorrow where during play, like, it's quiet. You know, they do the atmosphere of hockey very well. The Penguins used to do that. The Penguins used to connect with the community. They used to be a brand that people looked upon favorably. And not that that's terrible right now. Like, it's still a very well-run, first-class organization. I'm not saying they've, like, you know, gone completely down the tubes. But I think they've lost some of that personal touch that they had with Lemieux and Burkle. And you knew that those guys cared. You knew, even if, like, you know, you weren't hearing from Mario and Ron all the time, you would hear from David Morehouse, who was a Pittsburgher and yep. could speak on behalf of them and spoke regularly and spoke like a normal person. You knew who was running things. You knew what their motives were. And I think we lost that with FSG. So I hope, you know, Hoffman takes over. Either David Hoffman needs to talk or somebody near to him and just demonstrate.
Just give me any Hoffman.
How much this group can. Yeah, just any Hoffman.
Just any Hoffman, Hoffman will
Hoffman.
Do.
Yeah. Dustin. Yeah, the old Dustin Hoffman.
Trevor.
Yeah. Trevor.
It's a good one, Fokker.
Jason, this was very good. We wanted to have someone on who understands what's going on there and the business elements because I failed econ 3 times at WVU.
You don't say.
We settled for me.
We settled for you.
Wait, they have econ at WVU? Yeah,
right?
Has a 100 level course.
What is that like going to the Dollar Tree with $5? See how many you come out with?
I learned about opportunity cost, and then that was pretty much it. All right, Jason. Have fun in Montreal. It's a beautiful town.
It is. I love this place, man. Great to be back. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're the man, thanks, Jason. Jason. Thanks a lot. Jason Mackey. Yeah, I do think you need a little bit of a family kind of feel between an organization and a community. But at the end of the day, do you win or not? Like, I don't think if the Penguins were having success the last 3 years under Fenway the way that they had been previously, I don't think anybody would be complaining.
Right. And I mean, these people are very smart and they, you know, they kind of go through what works and what doesn't work for years and years. And especially in a situation like this with the Pittsburgh Penguins, that's why I think that Mario will be involved. Not heavily, but decent amount, and not just showing up, not just being a former player and being like, oh, it's like Legends Day. And there's Mario Lemieux here. Like, nah. I think he will be involved. I think he wants to be involved. If he didn't want to be involved, in my opinion, I'm not going against what Jason's saying. In my opinion, he wouldn't even have made the effort to try to buy back the Penguins.
Right. And I understand what Jason's saying. He doesn't want to do that as part of someone else's group.
Right. But I don't even think it would be that. You're Mario Lemieux.
Right. Exactly. That is an interesting thing to square when, hey, we're going to try to buy the franchise back. Clearly, you do want to be involved to now. I'm good. I'm good. I'll ride off into the sunset. At any rate, Penguins are just, they are swirling down the drain right now.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Because we didn't expect them to be where they're at right now.
Yeah, but then they were, and they should be better.
Well.
The reason I say they should be better, because I don't think anybody before the season would have batted their eye hearing that the Penguins in December had a 7-game losing streak. But the reason why it's annoying to me, and I feel like we need to treat them like a team that is vying for the playoffs, is because they had blown those 3 leads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they probably aren't as good as they started, but they sure as you know what are better than a team that has the worst homestand in the history of the franchise when this organization's had some lean damn years.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.